from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got them right where we wanted.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Good Friday. It's me, Rock. Big Suk's not over there.
Ahoy!
Although that was a drop. Did that fool you?
Brian not Buckley. Quite, but
were you shocked when I played that? You were like, oh my God, he is here.
Yeah, his ghost.
Ahoy!
He's not here. Big Suk's out today. Ryan Buckley over there.
Hello.
Two-man game today. Let's go. You ready to roll?
I am. I am too. Pretty fired up on some college pigskin, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was looking through the notes, the show notes. The award-winning show prep is complete, and I got to tell you, I think we're, if not all, 90% college football today. Well, I mean, of course, we have the club. And maybe I'll talk some golf. Only a couple hours of golf, though.
Maybe not a couple hours. A couple hours. It's your show. Whatever.
See, you love the golf talk.
I do love the golf talk. I have kind of fallen in love, frankly, with golf gambling.
Like, yeah, it's great.
It's really fun because you can get long odds all the time, and you don't have to win every week.
Right.
Win one every four or five. And
well,
I mean, you can win every week. That'd be nice.
But when you have long odds, it's like it's not even a real bet because it's like it's probably not going to hit, and so you
right.
just bet a small amount.
You throw a dollar or two at it. It's fun. Yeah,
it's great, and it gives you something to root for.
This event not as fun with the whole staggered leaderboard start. You know.
Yeah. So Scotty Scheffler. Oh, dang it! I can't talk golf. Oh yeah. Okay. Let's talk golf. Scotty Scheffler 4-shot lead over Colin Morikawa, but they've suspended play.
And Xander.
Xander. Sorry. Yeah, he's.
They're both 15 under.
Yeah, so Scheffler 19, Morikawa Schauffele 15, Adam Scott 4th at 12, and they suspended play. I don't know if it's weather or darkness, but...
And Wyndham.
They're done for the
Wyndham's
day.
Wyndham's doing well.
How'd Windy do today?
Today, he's 4 under through 17. He's 12 under for the tournament, tied for 4th with Sahith and Adam Scott.
It's going to be hard to catch Scotty.
No one's going to.
But at the start of the day, it was a 7-shot lead. Now it's only 4. Big Suk's on his way up to Bellingham. Or do I say Bellingham? I don't know what they say up there.
I'm not from there. I don't know.
But Bellingham, Washington, his kid's going to Western Washington, so he's got to get him a place to live today. And then he conveniently will be going to see Metallica for like the 900th time.
Nice.
Metallica's up in Seattle this weekend. So I would say he'd be back Monday, but he's not because none of us are. Labor Day.
Right.
We're not, for the first time in many years, we're not laboring on Labor Day. I think the boss is even mailing it in. And he's saying, just take the day off. It's Labor Day. Not many people on the roads. So Suk will be back on Tuesday. Joey Harrington, 5:30. We will talk to him about the Idaho game, where his eyes will be in a game such as this. And I kind of want to talk to him about how he played and what it's like playing in games like this. Because, I don't know, I would think that these are fun games to play in because you can... play well, Like, if you're a quarterback, you can sling it around a little bit, right?
Sure, but then again, it's like, if you go out on the playground and you are a fifth grader playing with a bunch of third graders, like, is it that fun because you're, like, throwing circles around them? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
I think it could be fun. Like, beating up on your little brother can be pretty fun, but...
You know the beauty of this is? You know what it is?
What?
Buckley?
What's that?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
But that's why Joey's coming on. He played.
Good thing we have him.
It really is.
Go Ducks.
So that'll be 5:30. We'll do two seggies with Joey, and we'll bang out a club, and we'll get you on your Labor Day weekend festivities. But I have to call for the ball. Well, it's just a two-man game today. But
and you're kind of the point guard, so you don't really need to call for the ball.
Yeah, I really don't, do I? I'm just going to hog the ball here.
Yeah, that's
probably
good.
A better way to say it.
Just dribble the air out of it like Jalen Brunson.
I have some big personal news.
You do?
Ryan Buckley.
You're pregnant?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Still trying. Wait, no, we're not. Meatball is engaged to be married.
Hey!
How about that?
Is that what you were going to find out at Ten Barrel last night?
What?
Last night, weren't you going to get some pub beer? Ten Barrel? Is that where you found out?
You know what? Okay. I'll get back to the topic at hand. But we went to Ten Barrel. No, I was just meeting a friend for a drink. And we were trying to go to Ten Barrel. It was packed.
Oh.
Absolutely packed.
Well, so I thought maybe he told you last night there. When did you find out? How did it happen?
Well, okay. So we knew that it was going to happen because he's been planning this. Do you remember when I said he went to the NFL draft?
Yes.
And by the way, for those who don't know, Meatball is our son.
And that was in Detroit.
He is 24 years old. He's just gotten engaged to his, and she is delightful. We love her so much. Her name is Emma, and she is from Detroit. And they met at KU,
because
they both went to KU. And she's a total badass in about 115-pound frame. And being from Detroit, as you well know, Buckley, she was born with larceny in her heart.
Nice.
And nothing says love like larceny. So they are engaged, but when I said, I was talking about it with Suk. Suk was like, why the hell is he going to the draft in Detroit?
I'm putting it together now. Was it to talk to the parents?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So he went to the draft in Detroit. I couldn't say anything on the air because Emma was actually surprised today when it happened. They're up in Vancouver, BC. Took her up there and popped the question. And he had a bunch of his and their friends around that she didn't know were there. They were secretly filming, like up in tree blinds and crap.
Nice.
I mean, very elaborate. And so he went to Detroit for the draft, and because we did a whole segment on, like, why the hell would you want to go to the draft? That's stupid.
Right.
And Meatball was there.
Which I did on my bachelor party, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
that was the...
That's douchey. I'm sorry.
Well, that was the pregame for Talladega, which wasn't as douchey.
No,
well, it's probably
not.
Also douchey, but...
Yeah, it's a different kind of douchey.
Anyhow, your story.
Well,
let's go.
Yeah. So he went to Detroit to ask Emma's father, Keith, to marry his daughter, which is very old school, but I think it's great. I don't know how many young men do you think do that these days? Did you ask?
Yeah, it was only about six years ago for me, and my wife's parents were living in the Los Angeles area, and so I waited to ask them. I mean, she saw them plenty, and we would go down there maybe twice a year, but I asked her dad, or I talked to her dad about it. So yeah,
and he said yes.
He said no.
And you did it anyway.
I did it. No, he said yes.
Yeah, I asked my wife's father as well, and he loved that. So that's why he went to Detroit. And then they went to the draft. So this has been planned for quite some time, and I know that some of our listeners, some of our loyal P1s know Meatball because he came on the air. This was before you were our producer, Buckley, and he chose his college live on the air. And we always get the comments like, I feel like I know you. Well, you do know us, and you know our families, and Meatball is engaged to Emma. Happened today, and my wife's over the moon, and we're over the moon, and we can't wait. And now the politics of light nudging and suggesting begin, because we want a destination wedding. So how about that?
Where do you want to go?
I don't care.
Where do they want to go?
Well, I don't think it matters where they want to go, does it?
Where do the moms want to go?
Well, there's already a thread with the parents, and it sounds like destination wedding is going to be the, like I said, the nudging, the suggesting. I mean, look, they can get married wherever they want. But I think a lot of people are wondering, hey, do we have to go to Detroit in August? You know?
Well, or a lot of people in the Detroit area going, do I have to spend my vacation in summer going out to Portland? If I don't want to?
Yeah, you know? Maybe. That's right. Know. Yeah. So
pick somewhere neutral.
What do you think about Mexico?
I think Mexico's a great idea.
I do too. Maybe a nice all-inclusive.
If you're doing summer, you could go right back up to Canada.
Yeah, maybe they'll. Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
It, where the question was popped,
yes,
something like that.
That's right. So I wanted to share that with you. We've got new fam.
Well, congratulations to Meatball and Emma.
Thank you so much.
Dearly beloved, we gather here today to wed Meatball and Emma. Is that what the officiant is going to say?
Probably. Yeah. I'm hoping so. All right. Well, I think we got to get to going.
Have you officiated weddings?
No.
That surprises me.
You know, my dad has done many.
I've done two.
My dad was a minister. You've done two. Yeah, so you got like the $50 online certificate.
Yeah, which the first groom paid for.
I don't know how many of our listeners that are new to the show know this. We have actually married two couples live on the air.
I thought it was even more than that. I thought it was like four. Or maybe Dusty did a couple others. Because Dusty's done a number of them.
Yeah, Dusty's ordained. He did two of our... I think we only did two. Boy, if we did more, I'm so sorry that I don't remember.
I think Dusty might have done others.
That was fun. We had a wonderful couple come down to our studio, our old studios, down on the waterfront. Then Intercom, and we married them. Well, I mean, we married them in our office, and people from our office were in the crowd.
That's so
in the families, dude. The best part.
So
of it,
weird.
Well, online, we did a whole club where Suk and I are sitting there as Dusty is officiating the wedding. This was, I don't even know what year this was, but you could hear the wedding on the air, and then Suk and I were like the two old guys and the Muppets just chiming in. The best part of all of that. And I thought the hour was really fun. And quite frankly, it was beautiful. Like, they really got married. It was, I cried.
Yeah, and like, but today, are they like, man, it was so awesome that we had our wedding in that radio studio?
I don't know about that, but I do know that we checked in with them several years later. I think one of them is divorced. The other two are still together, which is about the stat, right? Mm-hmm. 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember... But I'd like to. We need to follow up on that. That needs to be a whole thing. But I don't remember what they said. Look, there's probably some regret, but it was really fun and cool. And the best part of it all was, and I couldn't. There's no way to describe this on the radio other than to say, the looks on some of their family members' faces that this is where they were getting married was hilarious.
I bet.
I mean, it was disdain coupled with confusion, coupled with. Just raw, I want to gouge your eyes out with the golf tee. So it was great. We enjoyed that. So we have married it. We weren't the, so Dusty was the minister, and we've married two couples live on the air, but no, I've never done any weddings. And you've done two?
I've done two, yeah.
How'd that go? Pressure?
Both of them were good. The second one better than the first. The first one, it was really hot, and I was sweating a lot.
Mm. Yeah, well.
So, I mean, you know. Center of attention up there, and I'm like starting to, you know, I needed like a John Thompson towel.
Were you nervous? I mean, you're a radio professional.
No, so. I wasn't nervous. I mean, one, it's my friends, and I was talking mostly in front of other friends, so that wasn't it. It was just uncomfortable. Yeah. But it went fine.
Did they let you crack some jokes and like do your bits?
Yeah. So I basically interviewed the couples. So I talked to them each separately, even though I knew them both pretty well. And asked for little anecdotes and stories and things that I could kind of just weave into the procession, because no one at the wedding, the part that people want to spend the least amount of time at are those vows.
Correct.
In that ceremony. So, so like, I'm not going
to
sit up there and give like a 20-minute speech on how much I love them. If that's not happening. Yeah. So
no one
I kind of get right to business and then just throw in a couple little nuggets of things they've told me that I seem, you know, cute and on.
Yeah. That. Smart.
A good suggestion from the Vancouver Ford text line for the destination wedding. Mm-hmm. Sturgis, South Dakota. It's halfway between Portland and Detroit. Biker wedding.
All right. I'm down. Let's go. Catch some COVID. Be great. Well, let's get going. We got some college football to talk about. That's the subject of our poll question. And we have a new most disliked team in college football. So we'll get to that when we return on The Fan. By the way, the larceny line is from a movie. Born with Larceny in her. She's from the D. Vanessa's from the D, yo. She was born with larceny in her heart. This goes back to another old school seggy we did, Ryan Buckley, many years before you, about the worst movie of all time.
Oh.
And now the movie name escapes me, but it was really...
It was from that?
Yeah, it was from that.
Oh.
And so I always...
Well, I'm so glad that I don't still have the reference because I don't know what the movie is.
Yeah, forget the movie. Anyway, hey, nice to have you along. How's everybody doing today? Everybody getting their holiday weekend started early, I hope. We've got poll question to talk about here, and then we'll get into the most disliked team in college football. I bet you can guess who it is. There's a new one this year. Yesterday's poll question, we asked on X at 1080 The Fan, we asked you, what is the least Oregon must achieve for you to consider this season a success? Deep playoff run, 55%, winning in a landslide. Make the playoff, 21%. Beat Washington, 13%. And must win it all, just 11%. Even though this team is the highest ranked Oregon Duck team in the preseason in its in program history, and they are one of I think in the college football playoff era, well, there haven't been many college football playoffs, I think a team from the top six has won it every year. So perhaps the most highly anticipated Duck season of all time? That's a question we'll get into with Joey Harrington at 5:30. I think it is.
I think it has to be.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, my God, the Big Ten alone makes it that interesting.
This is the first year that people are talking like them, talking about them, not like a team that's trying to break through, but by a team, about like a team that's already there.
Yeah, and they are there. I mean, we know they're loaded. We know they should win most of their games.
Because they've been national title contenders before, but this is way different than that, because then it was like, if everything breaks right, and if you can, you know, just script everything out the right way, like, you're still going to have to go up against a team that probably has some bigger dudes than you. Like, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's another reason why I think it's got to be one of the most anticipated, the most anticipated season in Oregon history. I mean, you go back to the Mariota season where he won the Heisman. That team was a top five preseason team, and they did play for the title, and so that's tough to beat. But, and, you know, look, it's all going to be revisionist history when, if you get to the end of the season. We get to January, and the Ducks had gone 9-3. It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, you kind of have to back it up. But it sounds like most people believe that for Oregon to have what they deem to be a successful season, they not only need to get into the playoff, but they need to make a little bit of noise. Because it will be disappointing even to just get in the playoff and then and bow out.
Yeah, I think you at least need to be in the playoff and have a win. If you get in and you're a top four seed and you have a bye, then that means you won the Big Ten and you're expecting a win. If you
That's right.
didn't get that, you can't just making the 12 isn't enough and losing your first game. You need a win in the playoffs.
Well, and I think it also depends on, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but it depends on who you play.
Of course.
Where the game is. Yep. You know, if it's Georgia, it's one thing. If it's Memphis, it's another. So today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan, we're asking you, which coach has the most pressure entering the college football season? Is it Mario Cristobal, Lincoln Riley, Dabo Swinney, or Deion Sanders?
Oh, no.
Vote hard. Now, this is not to be confused with hot seat.
Right.
This is just pressure. And I think I considered putting Ryan Day on here because that dude has a lot of pressure on him. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Dan Lanning might have more pressure than Ryan Day. But I don't think so, because Lanning is young and building.
And they've been expecting it at Ohio State for longer than they've been expecting it here to Oregon.
Yes, and Ryan Day has tripped up against Michigan, and now they're loaded top two in the country. They're number two in most polls. So I don't know who has the most pressure in the Big Ten. It's got to be Lanning or Day, but I kept those guys out. I went Cristobal, Riley, Swinney, Sanders, all for different reasons. I don't know that Cristobal's on the hot seat, but man, they need to step it up.
I think they can't afford to fire him, but it's been kind of ugly for him these last couple years, from the way that he went out at Oregon to some of the ways that he's lost games at Miami. They're not a national power like they hope they would be.
Yeah, he's got a lot to prove, I think.
I think so, too.
Because a lot of the shine has come off of him, and even people at Miami are kind of going, I don't know. So and he's a good coach, did a great job at Oregon, but, man, there are some warts there. So, and this will be a big one for him. He's got freaking Cam Ward down there.
Yep.
That's a hell of a quarterback.
Yes, it is.
So, no excuses. Mario Cristobal got to have a good year. Lincoln Riley is interesting. It seems that USC is kind of, I don't know, I think this is a good spot for USC and Lincoln Riley in a weird way because nobody's really talking about them. We've kind of forgotten. We've almost gotten to the point where we're just done overrating USC that we're like, ah, wake me when they do something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's not as much pressure on him because he's, you know, I would imagine he stays there. He's not on the hot seat. And he made some changes on the defensive side of the ball.
He's
so.
Still a coveted guy for other people. If he were available, yeah. Someone would snap him up quick. And it's not like USC has their next candidate in their sights, like the obvious choice to bring
in. That was a great hire.
Yes.
And
it hasn't gone well so far, or hasn't gone
not
great.
As planned, but it's still early in his tenure. I think they might surprise some people this year. If they don't, though, watch out. Some pressure mounting. Now, Dabo probably has the most pressure because I think he is on the hot seat. If Clemson's offense is as bad as it has been the last couple of years, they get drubbed by Georgia. I think people, you know, because he doesn't care about NIL, he's talking about the transfer portal. And
he hates the transfer portal.
Hates it. It's like, dude, look, thanks for everything you've done. Let's move you into an advisory role. And
to me, it's almost different types of pressure because I think it's one of the last two in this poll. But for Dabo, it's like it's pressure to evolve. It's pressure to add a couple new things to your toolkit because we know he can coach and we know that he could at one point in time recruit kids, but with the money and with the transfer portal movement, he hasn't kept up, and that's got to change for him. Whereas Coach Prime seems to be like, he can do anything in the recruiting transfer portal NIL world if, you know, he can go get those players. We've seen him do the massive influx of transfers and send everybody out and all that, but we don't know if he can actually coach them up. We don't know if he can actually win enough games at this level.
Hey, 1-0, dude.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. Yeah, so it's, and he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Absolutely.
He puts a lot of pressure on his program just because of who he is and what he's, and the things that he says. They're very flashy. So, yeah, it's an interesting question, I thought. And so that's why we posed it to you today. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Vote hard. Which coach has the most pressure entering the season? Cristobal, Lincoln Riley, Dabo Swinney, Deion Sanders. I would probably vote Dabo. I think Dabo needs to get something done. Stat.
And the reason I would say it's Coach Prime is because I think Dabo would get a second chance somewhere else. If this thing goes up in a blaze of glory in Boulder, like, I don't know what people are thinking about about Deion after that.
That's a good point.
He's a certain type of head coach that we really haven't seen before, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of administrators or, like, definitely not NFL guys lining up to hire him. I mean, people who want to make a splash, maybe.
That's
but
fair.
If you're all flash and no substance, this might be the end of the line for him. So I might say him for that reason.
Who do you think has God on their side more?
Oh, that's a great question.
Dabo or Prime?
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I think Dabo knows.
Dabo's not nearly as iced out, though. Did you see that the crucifix that a Coach Prime was wearing last
night? I'll
tell
you
what,
man.
That was serious, man.
Prime's got some drip.
It's the dadgum mistake.
He looked like Father Christmas out there last night.
A little bit.
He got those shades.
I like that he gets Jesus's initials on his sweatshirt sleeve.
What's
there.
Up, boss? You believe that?
Yeah, it's a good point though. But does Dabo get another job if he gets fired by Clemson?
I think he would. I think that he could go somewhere that is already really good at the NIL recruiting transfer game and kind of pick up where the last guy was leaving off. But he can coach him up. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, I just was thinking that maybe because he isn't that into the transfer portal, he just feels like today's game has passed him by.
It's entirely possible. That's why I think the pressure's on him to evolve, whereas the pressure's on Deion to succeed.
Yeah. All right, vote. Coming up next, who is the new most disliked team in college football? Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled,
and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? We will spend far too much time talking about a 5-win team in this segment, and then we will move on. I've got my 2024 college football trivia primer coming up for you.
I love trivia.
It's sad that Suk can't be here for it, but Ryan Buckley is here, and he loves his trivia, so we'll get that done here.
Fire away, big boy!
Shortly. I saw this. This is far from scientific, but Jimmy Shapiro, who is he's kind of our betting guy. He we're on his email list, and he sends out some fun stuff from time to time. And they did a Twitter study, and what they did was they looked over 200,000 tweets that were tracked, and they put together a graphic based on data. Now, this is just the last 30 days leading up to the college football season, but they are tracking negative sentiment tweets directed at every college football team.
Take that for data.
So, for example, I hate Ohio State. Screw Ohio State. Ohio State sucks. Ohio State is the worst. F you, Ohio State. You know, you get the idea. Well, last year, the most hated team was Michigan.
Okay.
And that stands to reason, not just because they were good and ran the table.
But the whole Stallions thing and Harbaugh. And
exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
They have dropped to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They've dropped to 8th. Most hated now. There is a new number one on top of the list, the most disliked team in college football. And as you can imagine, it is. I like using the timpani roll. If you haven't noticed, Colorado! Everyone hates Colorado now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's actually not what I was bracing for. I was bracing for it to be Oregon, especially in the last 30 days with their big dumb duck in the river and all that. Like, I mean, I thought it was awesome, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see where Oregon landed on this list. Now, they are on here.
And I kind of feel like the sentiment is more anti-Coach Prime than it is anti-Colorado. But, you know,
well,
it's one and the same.
For sure. It's all Prime. And it's all his own doing. But 16,471 negative tweets about Colorado. Second is Alabama. At 14,361.
Interesting.
Ohio State, third. Notre Dame, fourth. Oregon is 11th, right in between Florida and Oklahoma.
Interesting.
So you are about as hated as Florida and Oklahoma, which is interesting.
Fine by me.
Yeah, that's good company, but I thought Oregon would be higher because
I did too, especially of all the noise they've been making in the last 12 months. Yeah.
Yeah. And people just... Now, I think that outside of Colorado, I'm guessing lists like this have to do with who is winning the most.
Sure.
But Colorado is an exception to that just because Prime is so high profile because they're not – well, they won last night, but like I said, 5-win team. So I'm guessing as Oregon, if you keep doing this throughout the season, and maybe they will, and we'll, if they do, we'll disseminate their findings to you. Oregon, I'm guessing, jumps up this list. Or just the teams that are winning.
That or a coach that you hear a lot from whose team is winning that people find annoying. You know, could be Oklahoma State if it's Gundy and they go on a run or whatever.
Brian Kelly, anyone?
Possible.
Annoying you? They're on there. They're sixth. So, yeah, anyway, I thought that was interesting. Colorado did win last night, although it was pretty wild towards the end. They won 31-26. Travis Hunter, his Heisman odds have gone from 33-1 to 14-1, which is interesting. That guy's, he is a stud, and Shador threw for 445 yards. But I think really towards the end of the game is what everyone's talking about, where what was Coach Prime doing on that final series where he could have, he pulled a Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, they got the ball back with like 2 minutes and change left, and then they got a first down, and on first and 10, and North Dakota State, I think, only had one or two timeouts
left.
They
had one.
One timeout left at that point. They drop back and throw a fade.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what that was about.
Stop the clock. Because if they, I think I read that at best, the Bison, if they just run the ball and punt three times, the Bison would have had maybe had 10 seconds at best.
And instead, they ended up getting like 35, 36, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty indefensible from a just a game management standpoint.
Well, they did ask Coach Prime about it, and he said, quote, you want first downs.
Oh, is that the idea? Well, no, you want to win the game, which means killing the clock.
Do you believe?
He says, if you want to run the clock down, you got to look out there and say, I've got one-on-one right here, and I haven't seen one-on-one the whole game, so I got to do what I got to do to move these chains, and that's what that is.
No, that's wrong. That's false. That is, okay.
He said, you've got to understand, you got to take what people give you. You can't take what you want if it's not there. What did Shador throw for? 445 yards? You think we're upset? Who upset? Oh, they didn't have much of a running game. Yeah, well, the passing game looked pretty darn good today. Let's be appreciative and thankful that we've got one of the premier guys in college football spinning it. We're going to run the ball. We're going to do that. We're going to have a lot more balance. Today was just that type of day. You have to take what they give you.
What a stupid deflection. We're in for a lot of those this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you have a hot take, and I don't disagree that Deion may not make it this whole season.
I think that once things start crumbling, and I do believe they will start crumbling, I just don't think that there's enough depth and substance there for them to be hyper-competitive, and it could go downhill fast. I don't think he'll let himself get fired. And I don't know that he would get fired during the season. I think they would probably let him see the season through. But if the heat starts coming down, I see him pulling the ripcord before the ripcord gets pulled on him. And whether that's blaming an administrator or something else that's going on, or I got to do what's in best interest for my kids and my family, like there's going to be something that comes up, and I feel the heat's going to get too hot, and he's going to bail.
I don't look. It's not far fetched because that guy cannot. He has a really hard time with losing, and if they start losing a bunch of games,
he has a hard time with direct questions at a press conference.
Well, that's what I mean. I think
not just losing.
Well, I think he likes all that stuff if they're winning and everybody's praising him like last year, because he was a lot of fun last year. Remember?
But even this though, like now, they won last night. Someone asked him about his clock management, and he's like, well, "Oh, we got to do, you know."
He's defensive because look, it's the walls are closing in. You can feel it. It's a house of cards. Shador's going to be leaving. Hunter's going to be gone. His other kid's going to be gone. Dude, Deion's out of there. And I'm with you. I don't see how he can handle being fired. He's going to point fingers at somebody else. And, you know, maybe he can use that club footy scout as an excuse.
A couple people on the Vancouver Forward text line saying that Prime also maybe put it on Shador, saying that it was his decision seeing one-on-one, and he was just trying to help a buddy out?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was Deion's quote there. I haven't heard it otherwise, him say otherwise, but I thought for sure he would blame your boy Pat Shurmur for that play call. But Colorado 1-0. They're playing at Nebraska next week, and then they play Colorado State again.
What do we think the line is on that one?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. You know me. I like Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule.
Watch out for my Huskers. They got to be back at some point. And, you know, they got a revenge game on their hands there, right? Didn't Colorado beat them last year? Beat them handily. Yeah, they beat them handily.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So this one's in Lincoln. All right. So Colorado, the new most disliked team in college football. Coming up next, our 2024 college football trivia primer. 342 on the Fan. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. We already have some theories on how Prime will conveniently step away from the Colorado program before getting fired. Coming in on the text line.
Ooh, one, I haven't seen these yet.
One says, as soon as they're out of the playoff contention, Shador and Travis will shut it down, and he'll say he needs to help them get ready for the draft.
That's a great one. If they have high stock, especially after games like that night, and then they've lost two or three games, he's going to say, why would they jeopardize $50 million futures to keep doing this?
And he'll say, the program's in good hands.
They're my sons, and yeah.
We got my guy Pat Shurmur taking over.
There you go.
Head coaching experience.
That's a good little guess there.
And then another one says, I'm anticipating a suspiciously timed necessary foot surgery. He'd love to see the season through, but, you know. Yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not bad.
He could pull the plug and say, well, health issues, he's stepping away, and then he just never
comes back.
Not come back. Exactly.
Got to need to spend more time with family.
Come on, we all know that's how it's going to go down.
I mean, he was never going to coach after Shador left anyways, was he? Or was he going to stay for Shiloh, I guess?
I don't know. How old's Shiloh?
I don't know. I think he's a sophomore. Or no, maybe he was a sophomore last year. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, enough about Colorado.
Yeah.
The season is upon us. I think we have Oklahoma playing tonight. Oklahoma playing Temple.
That's right. We also have Jonathan Smith with his Michigan State debut.
That's tonight. Who they got?
They're hosting Florida Atlantic. Go Owls.
Okay.
What an exciting time.
No, two Owls, I guess, in action tonight, because Temple's the Owls. Go as well. Owls.
Troy Taylor, right? Is that the coach at Stanford?
Yes.
Troy Taylor. Yeah, his debut is tonight.
Yep.
They
TCU.
Play Texas Christian.
Bartu loves Stanford in the points.
What's the spread?
It's like 10. Stanford's
really?
Getting 10 at home.
Mm, juicy. Well, I've got a college football trivia primer if you'd like.
I would love that.
I know you love your trivia.
I do.
Now, a couple of these I'm going to hold back. One I've got for Joey. So you'll have to wait for that one. That pertains to Oregon in the 5:30 seggy, or maybe 5:45 seggy. We'll see. Do you know who the last national champion was to open their next season with a new coach? So Michigan, of course, won it. Jim Harbaugh left. When's the last time that happened?
Boy, that's a good question.
It's been a while. Late 90s.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to get this then. Was it Saban? Did he leave LSU to go to the NFL?
No, it was Nebraska.
Oh.
In 1998 when Frank Solich took over for Tom Osborne.
Okay.
In the 10-year history of the college football playoff, how many teams outside the preseason top six won it all?
What's the year range?
I've already told you this.
Oh.
Well, the last 10 years of the college football playoff. So,
how many teams outside the top six?
Correct.
Won it all?
Correct.
One.
That's so wrong. Zero.
No, that's not so wrong.
Well, it is wrong because very first segment of our show today, I said this.
Okay.
And you weren't listening, you son.
I have a lot going on back here.
No, you don't.
I do.
You're drinking, aren't you?
Yeah. Actually, if someone could bring me a beverage, that'd be great.
So, this year, if you would like to know who will win the championship, look no further than the top six. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss.
What an exciting time.
Everyone else should just give up.
Okay.
How many former Texas quarterbacks remain in college football?
Okay, so you've got Hudson Card is still around.
It's a good one.
And obviously you've got Ewers.
Good little pull. Well, Ewers is he's not a former Texas quarterback.
Oh, I guess not former, no. Yeah.
You're already stretching.
Yeah, well.
You're biding your time. This is a tough one.
I don't have any more than
that. There are five. Believe it or not.
Five of them?
Yes. Okay. You've got three starters. Cam Rising, who we saw throw five teddies last night for Utah.
He never played, though, right?
Nope, he went to... Well, actually, I don't know that.
I don't believe he played there.
He went to Texas. Hudson Card is now the starter at Purdue. Malik Murphy is still around.
Oh.
He is the starter at Duke.
Okay.
And then you have two other guys. Casey Thompson is a backup at Oklahoma. You may see him tonight.
All right.
And Jaquindon Jackson, who was also at Utah.
Dude, I was never getting any of these.
He is now, believe it or not, he's still in the league, or in college football, and he is a running back. He is the starting running back at Arkansas.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Jaquindon Jackson. So they switched positions, and he's at Arkansas. How many starting quarterbacks are making their third stop on a different Power Four team?
Oh, a lot.
Now, we're going to count Central Florida, okay? Just because, I mean, because we need to include Dylan Gabriel. So technically,
okay.
Five. So Dylan Gabriel, Oregon, Oklahoma, Central Florida.
Okay.
So how many more are there? There are four.
Well, I think you've got
can you name them?
Jackson Dart.
No.
Is he not one of them?
No.
Oh, man.
Idiot.
I guess.
Well, one is obvious. You should get this.
It's DJU.
Well, actually, there's two of them. DJU, yep. Uwe Ungul. Clemson. Oregon State.
And now Florida State. And then, let's see.
One got hurt last night.
Oh, Max Johnson.
Yep, Max Johnson was okay. He got hurt. He's for North Carolina now.
Uh-huh. And he had been at LSU, and before that was...
Texas A&M.
Okay. And then, let's see, who else would be...
You're doing great.
I mean, it wasn't bad.
Well, there's another one that you should know.
Oh,
Because he was here.
Aiden Chiles? No, Tyler Shuck.
Tyler Shuck.
Because, yeah, Va Tech now?
No, he's at Louisville.
Louisville, okay.
Now, yeah, Louisville, and they're in the ACC.
Suit right? told me Va Tech, but he must have been thinking of Burmeister.
Tyler Shuck, Oregon.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
I saw him last year.
Louisville. And then the other one is Mike Wright. He is at Northwestern.
I've never heard of him.
And he was at Vanderbilt and Mississippi State.
Never heard that name before.
How many quarterbacks are starting as the all-time leading passers at another school?
Oh.
The answer? Three.
All time? So, yep. Okay. Ooh. Hmm. I mean, I know we're in a more passing, like a pro passing era, but.
You could maybe get one of them. And I'll give you a hint. He is number two in SEC history in passing behind Aaron Murray of Georgia. And he has recently, and this is will be his first year at a Northwest school. That's the best I can do for you.
Okay. Will Howard? No.
Nope. Close.
What's that kid's name?
What's his name?
I know who we're talking about.
It's Will Rogers.
Will Rogers. There we go. Washington. Will Howard's up at in Columbus.
Yeah, Will Rogers is the Mississippi State all-time leading passer. We also have KJ Jefferson, who is the...
He was at Arkansas, right?
Yes, he is Arkansas's all-time leading passer. He is now the quarterback at Central Florida.
Oh, I didn't realize he was there.
With, what's his nuts?
Yeah, him.
Coach. Former Auburn guy.
Malzahn?
Gus Malzahn, yeah. And the other one is Grayson McCall, who is now the quarterback at NC State.
Mm-hmm, the former Coastal guy.
He's the all-time leading passer at Coastal Carolina. And finally, how many projected week one starting quarterbacks have spent four or more seasons at the same school?
Oh, not very many.
It just doesn't happen anymore.
Well, because no one stays that. I mean, people either bail to go pro or they transfer. They just don't stay for 4 years.
Nope, they don't.
Boy.
So these are...
I'm going to say like two.
There's nine.
Okay.
So you were close.
Kind of.
Jalen Daniels at Kansas.
Okay.
Carson Beck at Georgia.
I didn't realize he was fourth year. Okay.
Brady Cook at Missouri.
Okay.
Garrett Nussmeier, mm-hmm. LSU. How do you pronounce the kid at Texas Tech's name? Barren? Morton? Brian?
Oh, I think it's Barren.
Barren? Okay. Barren Morton. Garrett Green, West Virginia. Miller Moss, USC, believe it or not.
Okay.
Preston Stone, Southern Methodist.
Uh-huh.
And Billy Edwards at Maryland.
That's a fake person.
Yeah, he's probably not even real.
Billy Edwards of Maryland, that's like a creative player.
And there is a little 2024 college football trivia prime.
I don't feel like I did very well.
You didn't.
Those were hard.
Those were not easy.
Those were really difficult.
The idea is to give you some fun facts that maybe you didn't know.
I have one for you. Can I share
great.
It?
Yeah. Kansas.
No. So Dylan Gabriel enters this year as the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
Do you know how long it's been since the preseason favorite won the Heisman Trophy?
Ooh. I do know this.
You do?
It has been 7,000 years.
It's been 10 years. Okay. The last person to do it, Marcus Mariota, Oregon Duck.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you in the last 10 years, being the Heisman favorite to start the season, probably not going to win it unless you went to Oregon 10 years ago, and that's Marcus.
Right. Boy, I tell you what, man. Gabriel should win the Heisman. The offense they're going to put up?
Yeah.
Numbers they're going to put up?
He should have the opportunity.
But that whole operation is kind of, you know, it's political.
It's murky.
And it, you know, the Alabama running back, I guarantee it will be up there.
Well, and I mean, Alabama's quarterback will be too if they're beating people.
And Milroe.
In there.
And Ohio State's quarterback will be up there.
And Beck will be in there.
Yeah. And Gabriel.
And, you know, maybe Travis Hunter for the rest of this month. Maybe.
Yeah, Travis Hunter. He is pretty good, pretty damn good, though.
Dude, some of the catches, the catch he made through the defender in the corner of the end zone last night was really impressive. I think it was his third one. That was, and he's a freak athlete, But, I mean, he's not going to win the Heisman. So, stop with that.
All right, let's talk. We got a little seggy on sports theme music coming up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.